All right, I want you to turn your Bibles this morning to the book of Revelation, chapter 21. Revelation, chapter number 21. The last book in the Bible. I want to read verses 6 through 8 for our text this morning. So you listen carefully to these verses. And he said unto me, it is done. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Father, thank you for the opportunity we have to stand and preach your word, proclaim your great truth today, to send out the gospel of Jesus Christ around the globe. Lord, we ask you this morning that you might take this servant and use him, fill him up with thy spirit, and give him the unction today to speak those words which need to be spoken. Father, we thank you now that as we go through this service, that the Holy Spirit will be with us, that he will guide our minds and our thoughts. We pray that today our hearers might have the blood-tipped ear of Calvary, that they might hear the word of God. And let the Holy Spirit speak unto us today and give us that which we need in this hour. In the lovely name of the one who loved us and gave himself for us, we pray. Amen and amen. I believe today in a place called hell. I think one of our great problems today is that many believe, but very, very few ever proclaim that truth this morning. We're living in a time when I think there's a lot of pop theology and feel-good, fuzzy sermons today that are going across the world. And there's nothing wrong with encouragement. There's nothing wrong today with being an encourager. But you know, Paul told Timothy that he was to preach the word of God. He said, preach the word, but be instant, in season, and out of season. Now, I used to wonder what that meant, but I've come to the conclusion, as the old mountain preacher said, that means when they like it and when they don't like it. And today, out of season, it seems, is on the judgment and the reality of a place called hell. So today, I want you to look this morning with me in this particular passage of Scripture. I want to talk to you today about this thing that God mentions here in our text for today, a place called hell. You see, first of all, I want you to see that there is a place called hell. I did not invent hell. As a matter of fact, the Baptist Church did not invent hell. The apostles of Christ did not invent hell. Neither did the prophets of the Old Testament. Hell was not today a figment of their imagination. It was not invented by some crazed preacher. But hell this morning was created by the same God that created heaven. Hell today is a creation of God. As you read it through the Old Testament, you find there are many mentions of this place even before the Lamb of God was born today. You find that there are many mentions of this place that God created. Isaiah, the great prophet of God, wrote in Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 14 that hell hath enlarged herself. This morning we need to realize today that hell was created by God. In Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 9, it talks about when Satan comes into hell. Let me read to you just a very short portion of that scripture this morning, Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 9, and you listen carefully to what it says this morning. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. Hell today is greeting and meeting the Lucifer, the son of morning, he's meeting and greeting the adversary, the devil, today. And it stirreth up to death, for the even all the chief ones of the earth, it hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nation. Hell today is not a figment of somebody's imagination. It was not created by some fiery evangelist, but hell today was created by God. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 25 and verse number 41 that it was created for the devil and his angels. It was not created for man, but it was created for the devil and his angels today. But we find today that it has begun to enlarge itself because today many people are ascending or descending into the pit. You see, the great sin of Satan today was rebellion to usurp God. He came to Eve in the Garden of Eden and said, hath God said? The first thing that Satan wanted to do with Eve was to begin to question the word of the Lord. He wanted to begin to question, hath God really said this? Is this what God really meant? And today that's exactly where he starts with humanity today. He begins to want to question the authority of the word of the Lord. He begins to want to say, did God really mean this? And when he begins to talk about hell, he'll begin to say that that's just a figment of somebody's imagination. It's not really a reality today. Hell today is not real. You see, today we need to realize that what Satan did in the Old Testament, what Satan did to God, he began to ascend into heaven and he was going to usurp and throw God off the throne. That was his rebellion. And for that he's sentenced to a place called hell today. Man today wants to usurp God and take his place on the throne instead of allowing God to have the place on the throne in his life. And so this morning, because of that rebellion and sin today, man is destined for this place that was created for the devil and his angels. We need to realize today that heaven is biblical and that it's real. Back during World War II, as the troops were preparing for D-Day, a chaplain came aboard the ship, and one of the men said, we have a question for you, chaplain. He said, well, what is it? And the man said, do you believe in hell? And the chaplain said, I certainly do, but what difference does it make? He said, well, chaplain, if you believe in hell, you need to tell us how to avoid going there. And if you do not believe in hell, there's no need of you being here. This morning, we need to realize that one of the great doctrines of the Scripture is hell, and the church needs to proclaim it. The pastor needs to proclaim it. And as Billy Graham once said, if there was more hell in the pulpit, there'd be less hell in the pews. We need this morning to realize that hell is a real place, that is biblical, that is scriptural, and that was created by the same God that created heaven today. Hell is a place of darkness today. The Bible describes it in Jude chapter 13 as a place of eternal darkness. Listen to what Jude said, just one little book back from Revelation, and I'll get there in just a minute. All my pages stick together sometime. Jude 13 said, raging waves of sea, foaming out of their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Hell is a place of black darkness today. I'm not talking about just a little bit of diminishing light, but I'm talking about a place of complete and total darkness. A place today that people wish for the light. In the book of Acts chapter 27 and verse 29, when Paul was on his road to Rome to be there on trial for preaching and proclaiming the gospel, the Bible tells about the great storm that the ship was undergoing. And one at verse number 29, it said that they wished for the day. They wished for the day. You see, this morning we look for the light. We want to see the light this morning. You know, the Bible says in the book of Psalms that weeping endureth for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. But you see, this morning we need to realize that in hell there is no joy because there is no mourning. There will never be any light to enter into that place called hell. It is a place of total and complete darkness. I can't imagine today how dark that hell is. I heard several years ago an evangelist preach, and he was talking about when he was in the military, and he was undergoing some special training, and they were training them how to survive as prisoners of war if they were captured. And it said that he said that one thing they trained them to do was to live in a place of complete darkness. And they put them in a little room. I had closed the door, and it was sealed off, and he said it was total darkness. And he said they were to stay in there as long as they could. And he said, you get settled in there, and you think, boy, this is not going to be bad. It's nothing really hard to do. But he said when they closed that door, and he said eventually people began to scream and cry. And finally, when they'd open the door, you'd look at your watch, and it'd been in there maybe 2 or 3 minutes because it was so horrible to be in a place of complete darkness. Can you realize today what complete darkness is going to be in a place called hell? And you're wishing for the light. You see, if you thought there was any hope, if you thought today that there was any time that light might come in, if there was any way today you might just see a bright glow for a moment of time, it might help you. But in hell, it's a place of total and complete darkness. We find that Jesus in Matthew chapter number 8 had this to say about it this morning. Matthew 8 and chapter and verse number 12, he said, "But the children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Weeping and gnashing of teeth because of the complete and total darkness. You'll be grinding your teeth. You'll be crying and screaming because today that you're there in a place of total and complete darkness, a place void of any hope today. We need to realize today that hell is real and it's a place of complete darkness. It's a place of depravity. It's filled with the depravity of the ages. As you study through the Scripture and as you read about this place called hell, I don't think we can even imagine how depraved that is. Every depravity of man is in hell. Fighting Bob Jones was a preacher out in California many years ago, and Fighting Bob was quite a character. And as you read some of his writings and you listen to some of the tapes of his sermons, I read where he once had a deacon with him, and they were going down the street in one of the very bad sections of town where the drunks were laying in the street, where people were wandering around looking for people to rob. All of the kind of things that you and I can only imagine in our imagination, maybe, was taking place in this little section of town. And they went there to visit into a place, and as they were leaving and walking up the street, the man made the comment to Pastor Bob and said, this is a horrible place. I wouldn't want to live here. And Pastor Bob looked at him and he said, "You're right, it is a bad place. Too bad your granddaughter's here." And he said, "Wait a minute, Pastor, my granddaughter's not here. She doesn't live here." He said, "I got to tell you, Deacon." He said, "She's never professed Christ, and she told me she didn't intend to. She was going to live her life and have fun." He said, "This is the kind of people she's going to be living with. A place of depravity. A place of depravity." You think today of all of the horrible and the worst place that you could go. I have no idea where that might be today. I can think in my mind and imagine having to go to certain places today. But if I had to go into those certain places and live for an eternity and always being amongst and that great depravity, how bad of a place would that be today? Hell is a real place, a place of total and complete darkness, a place today of total and complete depravity. It's a place of destination. There's no second chance today. You reject Jesus and you'll go to hell and you'll stay there for all of eternity. there is no escape from hell today. Revelation chapter 14 and verse number 1 has this to say. Listen to what Revelation 14, 1 says. And I looked at, I said the wrong verse today. Revelation chapter 14, I got to find my right verse here. It talks about how the smoke of their torment ascends up forever and forever and forever this morning. And we know today that Jesus talked about the eternalness of hell today. Hell is a place of eternity today. It's a place today is never going to end. It's a place of destination. Revelation 14, verse 11, this morning, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. There's no rest, and it's for eternity. Boy, I'll tell you what, you know, sometimes you get tired, sometimes you get weary, and you can lay down and rest your body and rest your mind and get some rest and feel better. But I want to tell you, hell is a place of eternal this morning destination. You'll never have a second chance of getting there. Revelation chapter 20 and verses 14 and 15 says, "And hell, death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." You know, we can read in the scripture where it says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Well, let me explain something real quickly to you this morning. If you're absent from the body and you're unsaved and you've rejected Jesus Christ, then this morning you're present in hell. The Bible tells us in the book of Luke chapter 16 and verses 22 and 23, here Jesus giving us the story of a rich man and Lazarus, of course, and I'm sure many of you might know that story already. But listen to what Jesus said in verses 22 and 23 of Luke 16 today, because it tells us exactly what happens when you die. Listen to what it said. "And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom." To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. When a Christian dies, when a saved person departs from this walk of life, they enter into the presence of God. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. You see, when he this morning woke up, he wasn't in the presence of God, but he was in torment. He was in a place called hell. We need to realize today that we know today that hell is a real place and it's a place of destination. There'll be no evangelist and there'll be no witness and there'll be no second chance. We find today that the rich man, he asked for a second chance, but he didn't get that. Then he asked for someone to go and warn his brethren. We find that Abraham said they have the law and the prophets. He said, yeah, but if one raised from the dead, if one could come and begin to preach to them and tell them how horrible the hell is because they've been there and experienced it, they would escape that place. And Abraham said, You know, this morning, if I were to all at once, the back doors were to bust open and coming down the aisle of this church would be a person in tattered clothing with the smell of smoke and the look of terror on their face, disheveled and horrible today, and stand up and tell, "I've been in hell for X number of years, and I've been there, and I want to warn you and tell you how horrible it is." People say, "That preacher just hired an actor." That's just something that he conned up to do to make us want to avoid hell. You see, that's what a lot of people today, and that's what Abraham was telling the rich man. You see, there is no evangelist. There is no good news. There is no second chance in hell. Young man was getting ready to go out one evening. He was living a very wicked and evil life. And as he got ready to depart for the evening, as he went to pick up his car keys, he went by and there was a tract that his mother had placed there. He looked at the tract, got mad, wadded it up, tore it up, and threw it on the floor, looked at his mama, I said, I wish I could go someplace where people would mind their own business and quit telling me about God. Mother said, well, son, you're headed for that place. You're headed for that place because there is a place where people will not witness to you. There is a place where people will not pray for you. There is a place where there is no chance. And that place is called hell today. Hell is a place of destination. It's a place of despondency. You know what Abraham said? He said, son, remember. Son, remember. You see, your memory will be intact. You remember every sermon. You remember every invitation. You remember every opportunity today. You remember every warning that God has given you. You know, there's a passage of Scripture over in the Old Testament book of Daniel, and as you study the prophets of the Old Testament, and Daniel, of course, one of the very prominent ones, and as you read today's headlines, and as you think about the events taking place in our world, Daniel and the prophecy of Daniel is very, this morning, prominent. But we find today that Daniel, in chapter 5 and verse number 22, is talking here to a man by the name of Belshazzar. Now, Belshazzar was the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. And Belshazzar had went and got all of the godly things out of the temple and was toasting the gods of his time. He was having a great party, and mocking God is exactly what he was doing. And there appeared a hand to write on the wall. And he couldn't interpret it. He couldn't understand what it meant. And so he called all the wise men. He called all the educated people in. Nobody could make sense of what was taking place and what that writing on the wall meant. Finally, his grandmother came and said, there is a man. And let me tell you about him. His name is Daniel. And so they called for Daniel. And Belshazzar offered him all of this today to interpret the writing. Daniel said, you can keep all of that. I'll interpret the writing for you. Let me tell you this morning. And he began to talk to Belshazzar, but I want you to notice verse 22 and what it says. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this. You saw and you knew. You knew to humble yourself before the God of glory. You knew not to mock God today. And you went ahead and did it anyway. I want to tell you today, Belshazzar is remembering every warning, even at this hour. People who are in hell today are still remembering the sermons and the invitations and the opportunities they had to come to Christ. There's a lot of people remembering that they said, one day, someday I'm going to come to the Lord. And I'm afraid today it might be like the sign that I saw not long ago. It said, too many say I'll be saved at the 11th hour and they die at 10:30. You think about that. Several years ago, I was going to Atlanta, Georgia, and as I got to Birmingham and was headed up the interstate, there at where the three interstates come together, I think it's 59, 65, and Interstate 20, and they call it Malfunction Junction, and all of those, that traffic. There was a tanker truck out of Tennessee, and he got sideways, and he hit there in Malfunction Junction, and he hit the overpass. And that truck had just exploded. And, you know, I begin to wonder, think about that. I wonder if that man was saved. I wonder if he was going up the road, if he was really saved. Because all at once, in a moment of time, he blew himself into eternity. This morning, and he'll remember for all of eternity every opportunity he had if he spends that time in hell. There's a place called hell today, and it's real. Think about the population of hell. Revelation 21 and verse 8 kind of gives us a little bit of a who. And he there enumerates about eight different classes of people that will be in hell. Listen to what he said. He said, but the fearful. You see, the first thing that starts off with is the fearful this morning. Now, what are they afraid of? You know, I'm sure we all have certain fears today. But this is a different kind of fear. It's too fearful to come to Jesus. They're afraid they'll lose their place or their prestige or their people today, and they will not confess Jesus. Notice what he said in John chapter 12, John chapter 12 and verses 42 and 43. Very important this morning to think about what Jesus says here. John chapter 12, verses 42 and 43. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed on him. Now they believed on Jesus. Even in the Sanhedrin council, he had those who believed. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. They were so afraid of being put out of the synagogue, so afraid of losing their prestige, so afraid today that they would not confess the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lot of people today talk a good talk. There's a lot of people who can talk about the Lord. There's a lot of people that can talk about the things of God. But they're too fearful to really serve God. They've never confessed the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible said you have to believe and confess. This morning, that's exactly the kind of people that's leading the list of people who are in hell today. Those who are so fearful, so afraid of losing something in life, of so afraid of missing out on something in this world, they did not accept Jesus Christ as the Lord and the Savior. The unbelieving, those who laugh and mock the things of God, they call us fanatics, and you know they say sin is okay, and they glory in their shame. Their God is their belly today. There's a lot of people out there who just refuse to believe the Word of God. I mean, you look around and they look up at night and see the stars and the creation, yet tonight they deny the existence of a Creator. They look around and see all of the problems that we have in our society. They see all the moral corruption and they refuse to believe that sin is the cause. Unbelieving. Abominable. They commit abominations. Romans 1 is probably the greatest commentary on that group of people that ever been written. And Paul, as he writes those words, and I'm not going to read all of them today, but I want you to listen to what Romans chapter 1 and the last verse, verse 32 says, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them today. They have pleasure in them that do them. Isn't that amazing? Abominable. Who do we? Murderers. You say, well, that left me out, preacher. I've never murdered anyone. Well, he certainly means physical murders here, but you know, Jesus said if you have hate in your heart, you've murdered somebody. Inward murders, hate and bitterness fill our world today. We live in a time when people hate each other and they are bitter toward each other, and we're seeing the results in wars and rumors of wars. We see all the race and clashes that we see. Everything today is filled with hate. Whoremongers. That speaks for itself. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13 that marriage is honorable and all to be undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will punish. And today we live in a time when people are shacked up together, living together without the benefit of marriage, and they'll say to you, what difference does a piece of paper make? Just read Hebrews 13. That's all I can ever tell them. Not being ugly today, I'm just telling you exactly how it is. The Bible said they're homemongers. That's not an ugly word. That's simply a biblical word. What did Jesus say? That's the kind of population is there. Sorcerers. That's the occult and the demons today. It also had to do with drugs and drink and altering the mind. The idolaters. We live in the day of idolatry. Oh, we don't bow down to stone and wood. But today we find that we have so many idols in America. We have American Idol. A lot of people wouldn't miss that to come to church. We have football and all kinds of other things today, and it's all about the money. We idolize everybody but Jesus. You ever thought about that? We idolize everybody but Jesus. Spend millions of dollars to idolize Elvis Presley. And he died of a drug overdose, and we put drug offenders in prison. But now we promote it. I'm not being ugly. I'm telling you the exact truth today. Idolatry. You look all around, we idolize. And who do we idolize? Everybody but Jesus. Liars. Hypocrisy. And folks say, I'm not coming to church. That church is full of hypocrites. Well, hell's full of hypocrites. Liars, those who play act. You see, the rejection of Jesus sends people to hell. That's exactly why people go to hell today. They reject Jesus Christ. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians that they obeyed not the gospel, that they might be saved. Real quickly, I want to give you one more verse of Scripture, maybe two. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Paul tells us something there very, very important today. I read this every once in a while just to make sure I understand what the Lord is saying. That's not what he said. He said, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. That's a list, isn't it? The Lord gives us a list of those people who won't be in heaven. Great loss. But then he said, and such were some of you. Such were some of you, but you're washed. You're sanctified. You're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. I'm telling you today, the population of hell is there. And it's populated by the reprobates of the world. And as Jerry Vines once preached, people are not strolling toward hell. They're headed there on a jet ski. But think of the prescription for hell. Jesus said, I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, and I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life free. Come to Jesus. That's the only prescription today. You see, he invites. He says, come. You'll miss hell today. You'll miss it only through Jesus Christ. One day a man was eating lunch in a restaurant. At the next table over, two men began to get into an argument. And finally, one of them jumped up, slammed his fist on the table, and looked at the other man, and he said, you go straight to hell. And stormed out of the restaurant. The other man got up from his table, walked over to where he was, and he said, I want to tell you, I'm a Christian. I've read the instruction book, and you don't have to go. This world is headed to hell on a jet ski, as Jerry Vine said. But I'm here to tell you, I've read the instruction book. You don't have to go. Come to Jesus. Don't go to hell. Come to Jesus. If you don't remember anything else I said today, please remember this. Don't go to hell. Come to Jesus today. All right, if you'll stand with me, Brother Bruce, you and Barbara, come. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we've been together. We'd ask you to take this very simple message and use it today and lift up Jesus and show us today the great reality of the place we need to miss and how people not go to hell but come to Jesus. In his sweet, lovely name I pray. Amen.